I'm going to get to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I want to set it up with some things, but you can start looking in that direction. Anybody ever heard the song, "He's Still Working on You"? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be? I was just looking up online to see that if I had the words right. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And I'm going to say, wrong. Do you know we get a lot of our doctrine from songs, from Christian songs? Some of the songs we sang were such a drag. I don't even want to go down in that direction, but it's a neat little song with a neat tune to it. But what it comes down to is this: he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I am what I ought to be. And this is the point that I want to try to get across this morning. If we spend our life trying to get to be who we ought to be, it's a frustrating life. Amen. We are who we ought to be. What we need to be is transformed on the outside to who we are on the inside. Amen. And you know, this may not seem like a big thing, but a little adjustment in our attitude and thinking and perception to get something like that down can make a huge change in our life. Right. Frustrating otherwise. Now, I was reading, a book that everybody ought to have and read maybe once a year or so is Brother Hagin's book on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And he has the clip from there talking about a young lady that was in his church. He said, "The most amazing miracle I have seen of eternal life affecting mentality was a girl that I'll call Mary. Her mentality was increased at least 90%. She started school at 7 and went 7 years without getting out of the first grade. In those 7 years, she never learned to write her name. Finally, they asked the parents to take her out of school. As an 18-year-old in the church I pastored, I saw her behave like a 2-year-old. She would get down and crawl around the floor like a baby. If she happened not to be sitting by her mother, she would slide under the pews or lift up her skirt and step over them to get where her mother was. Her clothes were always a sight. Her hair was never combed. Then one night, during an evangelistic revival meeting, Mary came to the altar. There she received eternal life, the nature of God. A drastic change occurred instantly. The very next night, she sat in the service and behaved like an 18-year-old young lady. She had fixed her hair and dressed up. Her mentality seemed to have increased overnight. Years later, I was back in the city to help with the funeral. Whatever happened to Mary? I asked the church secretary. She led me out on the front porch. See all those new houses going up over there? I said, yes, that's an addition to the city. Mary is building that. She's a widow now. She handles all her own money. She is her own financier. She has 3 lovely children. They are in the front row, front pew every Sunday. They are the best-dressed, well, best-mannered children in the church. As church secretary, I can tell you that Mary's tithes and offerings are here every Sunday. The life of God came into her. She realized who she was, the change that happened. Bed, that's better than trying to become something that we think that we're not. Now, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I always think when I'm looking at Romans chapter 12 that this is a transition part of the book of Romans. The first 11 chapters, Paul's really trying to drive home we're saved by through grace by faith. And then when it comes to chapter 12, he's beginning to say, now since you are, here's what you need to do. Here are the attitudes you need to have. So he said in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Not talking about laying on a physical altar, but giving ourselves for service to the Lord, because that's what it's all about. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Really what it comes down to is there are only probably only 2 choices here: conformed or transformed. And we want the transformation part. There's a paraphrased version of the New Testament done by Kenneth S. Wiest, And here's how he says verse 2. And stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of who you are in your inner being. I'm going to read that part again. And stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of who you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good and well-pleasing and complete will, and having found it meets specifications, place your approval on it. Start living on the outside, like who you are, on the inside. Realize who you are on the inside. Now, I'm taking for granted that I'm talking to people who are born again. If you're not born again, then there's change on the inside hasn't happened, and that needs to happen first. But once you know that you're born again, once you know that Jesus, your Lord and Savior, that he's come to reside in you by the Holy Spirit, then you are somebody. And a lot of times, you know, we, Word of Faith people, whatever you want to call us, have been thinking about that to some extent and confessing that, but it hasn't become real to us yet. We're saying something that's not real from the inside, and that there's a blockage there. It's one of the reasons why we're doing the classes that we're doing on Thursday nights, is to get a connection between the inner man, the spirit, and the outer man, so that this thing that we really are, these things that we really are, can come to manifestation. The word transformed means to undergo a complete change which, under the power of God, will find expression in character and conduct. It's an inward change that we want to have manifest on the outside. And, I'm going to spend a few minutes this morning just trying to get us to think, to change the way that we think, to focus on life differently instead of continuing to try to be something that we think that we're not. It sounds diplomatic. It sounds wise. I think I'm going to keep working on this and working on this until I really get to become something, make something of my life. But when that's the focus, unfortunately, we're focused in the wrong direction, and we're not tapped into the right power that'll really help us make the changes. Conformed is what happens on the outside from just hanging around this world, and we get like it, and we sound like it, we act like it, we smell like it, you know, becomes everything that we don't want to be, in a sense. I was reading this morning in Romans chapter 7, remember that passage of scripture where Paul said, man, the very thing that I know I shouldn't do, I end up doing, and the thing that I want to do, I don't end up doing that. And he said, who's going to save me from this? Praise God. He said, Jesus Christ is going to save me from this. Thank God. But that's the way a lot of our life is. We know we should be doing this. We know we shouldn't be doing that, but somehow we're not making connection and not having it lived out the way that it's supposed to. And probably one of the reasons is because we don't see ourselves as who we really are. We're somebody, praise God. When you're born again, a born again child of God, that's something. It's almost like we're, instead of being excited about who we are, we're apologizing for who we are. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. It's the difference in emphasis and how we look at those things. So stop working to become something you're not, and instead be transformed in what you already are. That's our subject this morning. And I'm going to get some help too.
I'm going to take it one step farther. Is, you know, we've always, like Wayne's been talking about it, that's how we've always looked at it, being not conformed to the world. So, you know, I'm not supposed to look like the world. But what has happened is, for a lot of Christians, and we find ourselves, we're conformed to the world in that we conform to religion. You know, we look like a good Christian on the outside. You know, it's all about works and what I'm doing and all the stuff that I'm working on, and we're still just being conformed. When it's exterior, it's conformed. If it's not, if you're one person on the outside and somebody else on the inside, you know, you're living your life, you perform, your actions speak one way to, depends on who you're with. If you're different at work, then you're different at home, and you're different at church, then you haven't been transformed yet. We're still just being conformed. And so that's what we have to look at this morning. We want to be totally changed from the inside out, not from the outside in.
Right. Amen. Amen. Now, the problem with trying to become something that you don't see yourself as being is We could call this, in one of the books we're doing it, they call it behavior modification. And this is what the quote from the book that we're studying on Thursday night. Behavior modification is usually done through a form of conditioning. Conditioning is not altogether wrong. It's only wrong when it's a substitute for a true change of heart. Grace, God's power, capacity, and ability, which comes through unmerited favor and works in the heart, is what makes us able to be and do and have what God promises. Grace only comes through faith in the heart. We do not want to be totally, we do not want to totally reject the value of conditioning. Like almost anything else, conditioning can bring value when used properly. It is a basic development tool when coupled with heart development. In other words, I'm not saying don't try to make any changes. We're saying make sure that the power to change doesn't just come from you, and it doesn't come from the wrong perspective and the wrong view of yourself. Amen? Because that's where it gets frustrating. When we try to change ourselves into something that we don't see ourselves as being, it's hard work. And a lot of times we think, if I can just really grit my teeth, and this time I'll make the changes that I need to. Classic examples are losing weight and changing the way that we eat, exercise, and those kind of things. And how many times have we, this is going to be the one that gets me there. This time I'm really going to change. And made some changes. Diane and I, years ago, got into that low-carb thing. Atkins diet. And I lost the most weight I'd lost since I put it on. I got down close to 200 pounds and so on. But, it wasn't long before it came back because nothing changed on the inside. And then you end up going right back to the way that you were. The way that you're not, actually, but the way that you see yourself. And see myself as weak. When people talk to him, sometimes you see somebody that you consider to be very disciplined. Remember Joe Finero? He worked with weights and so on. I always saw him as very disciplined. And he'd sometimes talk about discipline. And I remember thinking, I wish I could be disciplined like that. And it's, there's some of that is good. But if it's just from the exterior trying to be disciplined, what happens? You finally, scrape it together, make some progress. But we don't see ourselves different. A person who really comes out of poverty or comes out of whatever and really makes a change in their life does it because they see themselves, they see something on the inside that they can be, that they are, and they're going to become that. I've heard about a sculptor who they presented him a piece of some kind of rock to make something out of it. It had a big crack in it. Nobody else wanted it. But pretty soon he made a very famous statue out of it, and they said, well, how did you do that? He could see it in the rock. He could see what was there, and he cut away everything else that wasn't that. Life could be that way. I am a child of God, so I cut away everything that's not a child of God. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm a more than a conqueror, all these things that we know, and we get rid of everything that we're not, and we begin to look on the outside like who we are on the inside. Amen? Problem with trying to become something you're not is it's the focus is on you. Right. It's up to how strong can you be? Yep. And our past experience tells us we're not going to be strong enough because we tried so many different things and it didn't work. And it's dependent upon the flesh, not on the Spirit. And it's frustrating. So it's like trying to change the outside without recognizing change on the inside is a roller coaster ride at best. Amen? Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. If I can just get us all to just think in this direction and just try to change our perspective of how we see ourselves. Verse 17. Now these are scriptures that we've been talking a lot about recently. I want to read this passage down to verse 24 so you can see it all together. Ephesians 4, starting verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. It's talking about Gentiles in the sense of people without God. We are not without God. I said, we're not without God, so we shouldn't be living our life as if we were. We shouldn't be struggling more than people who don't have God. And yet, it seems like a lot of times the Christians are the ones that are really struggling because we haven't tapped into who we are. No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Where's the life of God in us? Down the Spirit. It's there. It's not, as far as we're concerned, it's not way off in heaven somewhere. It's right on the inside. And yet you can be on the outside alienated from that because the attitudes aren't right, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, we get our word apathy from that, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Well, to me, as I was thinking about that, that passage we're talking about being the downward spiral, that's a pretty good definition of being conformed to this world. Amen? And if the church, if the people that are in the church, if the people that are born again children of God look just like the people that are in the world, who's going to want to get born again? It's no wonder people are coming knocking at our door saying, well, I want what you've got. Because we don't look like on the outside who we are on the inside. Right. You know, there's somebody who's tapped into who they are on the inside. They're just better looking. Yeah. you're welcome, Tom. And some of us need all the help we can get, too. But you know what I'm saying? Even somebody that has just tapped into something interior, they've got a hold of it. They know something about the inside of them, good things that are going on, and they just look better. Amen. The smile is bigger. There's something about it, and it's because God is involved in the process. All right, let's read on. Starting verse 20 again now. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Not anywhere else either. The truth is in Jesus. The process, as far as we're concerned, of making progress forward is going to be, first of all, finding out what the truth is. You can't get your mind renewed until you have some truth to work with. I was reading Brother Hagin's devotional this morning, and he was saying people are really insane to think that they're going to make progress without the Word. Right. It's going to have to be involved in the process somewhere because it's the truth. And if you separate yourself from the truth, you've got no truth to work with to move forward on. The truth is in Jesus, and he's the living Word of God. Reading on, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. Put away the old man. What does that mean? That means anything, the old man is who you used to be before you were born again. And so anything that's associated with that, you just put off from yourself. When you detect attitudes that aren't new man attitudes, they're old man attitudes. Take sin. We talked about that downward spiral ends up in, what did it say here? Lewdness and all uncleanness of greediness. When you see things that are leading in that direction, obviously that's not from the new man, that's from the old man. And instead of struggling and gritting your teeth and trying to discipline yourself, you put it off because that's not who you are. And not just sin-type things, but just wrong attitudes of any kind. Something that has power over you when you should have power over it. Amen? Amen? We begin to put it off. And then be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which would be another way to say, not just your thoughts, but the way that you think. The way that we think needs to be changed. And it's an immediate thing. You put on, it's an immediate thing, but the renewing part is a progressive thing. That's where the labor to get into that rest comes, to get to the place of faith, place of really being in faith, comes from renewing the way that we think, the spirit of our mind. And that's going to take heart work. It's going to take a change of heart. And put on, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. It's already been done in true righteousness and holiness. How much effort have we put into trying to be righteous that we didn't need to do because we are? It makes a big difference to know I am righteous and therefore I can act right because I am. Amen. Instead of I'm going to try to be righteous and then I'll be. I am and therefore I can. I am a child of God so I can act like one. I'm not going to change the way that I act so I can be one. I am one. We weren't going to get there on our own strength anyway. We weren't going to become a child of God because we straightened out our life. And now we finally came up to the standard. We were never going to come up to the standard. But Jesus is the standard. And we came into him and he came into us. And because of that, there was a change on the inside. And now we are something. And it makes all the difference in the world when you see, I'm somebody. I am intelligent. I am strong. I am determined. I have this on the inside of me. I can do it. Praise God. Instead of I'm going to, when I finally get my act together, I'll be somebody. No, you're never going to get your act together at that rate. What I'm saying is it's a frustrating way to live. Make a little progress. You know what the expression we use, you know, one step forward, two steps backward. You live for 90 years like that. And you're real glad just to get to heaven and get out of here. And the end of life just becomes a rescue to get away from this, which is not the way it's supposed to be. Children of God are supposed to be living like life is something. Life is exciting, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get healed, I am healed. I'm not trying to get prosperous, I am prosperous. I'm not trying to get to be somebody, I am somebody. And when you understand that, you know that you're not bragging about yourself and you're bragging about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're bragging about the Holy Spirit of God, bragging about the Word of God that's made change on the inside of us so we can tap into those and live our life differently. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. I like that we can get excited about things on Sunday morning. But more importantly is, you know, what are we thinking when we go out here? Are we going to go fall right back into that same attitude again, or are we going to grab hold of something and make it a permanent part of our lives? Amen. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. His heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. I wanted to read that whole passage because a lot of times we just look at verse 7 and say, as he thinks in his heart. Thinks where? In his heart, so is he. Which is the important part of this, but you see the whole thing is this guy is trying to be something outside that he isn't inside. He's trying to portray, like Diane Kemmel says, it's not going to be enough to try to act like a Christian on the outside. When you don't see yourself as that on the inside, you're going to, somewhere along the line, you're going to fall back to the way that you see yourself on the inside. You know, when the hammer catches your nail instead of the nail, something's going to happen along the way it's going to come out the way you see yourself instead of the way that you really are. So this guy is a miser, and he's trying to portray himself to be something else on the outside, but it's messing him up and anybody around him, because as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And as you think in your heart, so are you. Now, the word thinks there, and we just started studying this on Thursday night, is an interesting word. It has the idea of a gate or a door, put with the thought of that, to become a gatekeeper or a doorkeeper. And this is what it comes down to. The way that we think the way that our minds have developed this. You remember we were reading in Ephesians 4, the spirit, change the spirit of your mind. The way that we've learned to think becomes the doorkeeper for our heart, and it creates the boundaries for our heart. If we've learned to think of ourselves as not worth much, then we might say a few things different and we might act a little different, but we're going to come back to the parameters that we've developed for ourselves because this is the way that we think. And what's the word Diane like Diane used now to say? We sabotage ourselves. Self-sabotage. You got to get a person who, so some of those good things on the inside begin to manifest and gets a better job, but pretty soon he loses that job. He sabotages himself because he sees himself as not being worth or worthy of this place that he's come to. And how many times have we seen people do that? But it's not so important that you see somebody else and see that in somebody else, but what do you see in yourself? It's like, you know, I was finally got out of the house on time, but wouldn't you know it, I had a flat tire. Well, when you say, wouldn't you know it, that means you were expecting that. Something bad's going to happen because I made a little progress here. So there's a parameter in the way that you think that's going to keep you in that box until you change the way that you think. Because as he thinks in his heart. So here's what happens. Pastor's preaching a good message on Sunday morning. And it's not really getting in because the way that you've set your mind to think is there's a wall, there's a doorkeeper, and he said, yeah, that's what he's saying, but that's not going to work for you. It'll work for other people, not you. He's saying that, you know, the Bible says that you're really something, but you know you're not really something. It's the way we've learned to think. So for one thing, we have to stay at it until a change is made. And the changes in these kind of things doesn't always happen overnight. It happens because we determine that box is going to get broken. Those invisible boundaries are going to be moved. We're going to learn to think different about ourselves. One thing to think different about other people. Another thing to think different about ourselves. All right, let's finish up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I think there's a picture that goes along with this. Can you see the picture up there? It's how you see yourself, right? Second Corinthians 3:17. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified Version. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror. So when I look in the Word of God, as that cat is doing, I need to see it as a mirror. And when I see that the Word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then I need to see myself that way. You know, you can memorize a scripture and have it not have that effect at all. I grew up in church. It was a privilege to grow up in church. And we learned a lot of scriptures along the way that really didn't make much difference to us at all because it was just, this is what the Bible says, not that's who I am. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. That can be just a saying, or that can be how we live our life. Amen? Amen. So, I'm hoping that, and when I'm talking about the box that we create and the walls that we put up and we learn to think a certain way, that something clicked there and there's something that you're thinking about that, yeah, I've kept myself in that box and it's time to come out. Every one of you this morning, you're capable of doing great things for God. And we're going to praise God before it's all said and done. Not because we're going to get to be somebody, but because we are somebody. God's called us to be in this church, praise God. God's called us to be a church together. He's called us to be the house of God together. He's called us together. We wouldn't have been together had he not done that. But if we see ourselves as, well, you know, we used to have more people and now we have less. And whatever box we want to put ourselves in, then we'd stay there, but we're not. Great things are happening. God is a good God. Amen? Be excited. Praise God.